that's the way it's going to sound. Later today, it has sounded like that for generations at Churchill Downs when the horses come onto the track for the post parade. And that was indeed Steve Buttleman with the call to the post. He appeared in our studio a few years back for an interview and was kind enough to do that for us. And boy, he is spectacular. He celebrates his 25th consecutive year as the bugler at Churchill Downs, and he is with me now. It is a privilege. Steve Buttleman, good morning, my friend.
Good morning. How are you today?
Very well, and even better now that I got to hear your call to the post again.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's a beautiful morning. The only thing we're missing are the fans.
Yeah, you know, that's going to be a little bit surreal. I'm so used to seeing you walk out onto the platform there outside the infield pagoda and your familiar red jacket and the black cap, and you hit the call to the post, and you're usually looking at tens of thousands of fans in the grandstand and clubhouse. This year you're going to be looking at an empty grandstand. What's it been like so far?
It's definitely weird. Not luckily, but since we had to do that in the spring, it's not quite as weird as it could have been. But it's definitely weird on Derby Day for sure to not have hundreds of thousands of people here. And usually when I play the call to the post for the race itself, after about three notes, the whole place erupts, and that's going to be missing this year, which is going to be a bummer.
Yeah, that's right, too. We'll hear about athletes who get pumped up when the crowd starts to roar. Does that get your juices flowing a little bit?
It does. It gets, it helps. I think it helps me focus a little bit. And also interacting with the fans in between races, like in the suites that are next to the winner's circle. Sometimes that helps just lighten the stress a little bit too, just making things a little more normal and bringing it back down.
Steve, you're going to do something a little different this year too, if I understand correctly. You'll also be playing the national anthem earlier in the day, and that's a departure from what we've seen the past several years when Churchill has brought in big recording artists to do that. Is that true? That's what you're going to be doing early?
Yes, sir. Yep. And that's quite an honor. I enjoy getting to do the national anthem live here every day for our race card, but getting to do it for the Derby and on national TV is something that's new.
Is it a difficult song to play?
Actually, it's easier than the call to the post because
really?
I think of the words as I play to try to get the breathing and everything just to sound like I was singing it more than playing it. So for me, the national anthem is much easier than the call to the post.
You know, when you went to Churchill Downs 25 years ago and auditioned to be the bugler, I can remember the story you told me. You said it was almost like being on American Idol in some respects, right?
Yeah, they had cameras set up and a stage and a panel of judges, and we all did our call to the post, and we all did it in front of the other applicants, and we all knew each other, which made it even worse. And we all did our call to the post. There was eight of us there. They narrowed it down to two of us, and then we did our call to the post over and over, and I was the one that was lucky enough to be picked.
In all reality, did you really, truly believe that 25 years later you'd still be walking out there and doing it every single day?
No. Back then I don't know if I knew what to expect. Now I realize that the Derby is much bigger than, you know, this one race. It extends beyond one day, and especially in Louisville, Lexington, Kentucky, it's the theme of a lot of conventions that come to town. It's on a lot of people's bucket list. And so to get to be a part of that and share that with people throughout the year is a real blessing.
Yeah, very well said. And when we throw it to the call to the post on our coverage, and we've been broadcasting the Kentucky Derby on the network now since 2011. To me, it is always one of those moments that you don't want to miss. You don't want to get to it late. If you get to it early and the crowd is rumbling a little bit and then you start to play, it's fine. But in terms of timing, I never want to miss the call to the post. There's just something that's so identifiable about that. Steve, how about for you? How do you view your role in the whole pageantry of the Kentucky Derby?
Well, I'm a small part of the entire mechanism that is Churchill Downs and Derby Day. But fortunately, or stress-wise, I guess, unfortunately, I'm a very visible part of it. So I think when I play the call to the post on Derby Day, it is like the culmination of 4 weeks of intense festivities that have come to a point, and now everyone knows now's the time for the race. And like I said, it's just like 4 weeks of just comes to it right there.
That's an awesome responsibility.
Yeah, I think it's one reporter asked me what it was like, and he obviously didn't really know a lot about the Derby. And I said, well, it's kind of like saying, gentlemen, start your engines at the Indy 500.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah, it's a great analogy, great way to put it. Steve Buttleman, bugler at Churchill Downs, celebrating 25 years here in 2020. He's my special guest here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Steve, walk me back to the beginning a little bit and take me through the early days of Steve Buttleman, if you will. Were you always interested in music, and did you always think that, you know, maybe someday this might be where you end up?
Well, I started playing cornet in fifth grade and switched over to trumpet, which they're the same thing. It's just that I got my trumpet in eighth grade, and I played through middle school and high school, and I really enjoyed it. I also enjoyed singing in the concert choir as well, and orchestra. And so I decided to pursue a trumpet performance degree at U of L. And I was hoping that I'd, you know, be playing in a orchestra somewhere in the country and teaching privately or maybe at a university. I never dreamed that I would be the bugler here at Churchill Downs and be here for over 25 years. So life has a way of steering you in the right direction, even when you try not to go that way.
Are there folks that, as you were beginning to make your way through your career, and you mentioned the University of Louisville, were there people that you, other musicians that you would look up to and think maybe one day you try to emulate their style or whatever it might be?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I looked up to my teachers, Leon Rapier, Jim Depp, Jerry Amond, Mike Tunnell. All of those gentlemen were just, I couldn't have been here without them. And they inspired me, but then I also wanted to play like them too. And I think developing a good idea of what, let me turn this thing off.
My hand is down in the winner's circle, and I just put it in
the... Oh, there we go. Sorry about that.
No problem.
But developing an idea of what you want your sound to be like is really important. And so I would listen to recordings of Maurice André, and, well, back then Maynard Ferguson was huge. I couldn't hit all the high notes that he could hit, but I still wanted to play like him. And then you hear stuff in the movies like the Rocky theme, Star Wars, the Olympic fanfare, and that always, I was like, man, I want to be the one that gets to do that someday.
Yeah,
or Broadway
shows.
I always wanted to play on Broadway. I love musical theater and getting to be a part of that as well.
Have you ever had the chance to do any of that type of work?
Yeah, just not. I've done summer theater here in Louisville, back at Iroquois Park when we did shows there over the summer. And I've been able to play with quite a few high school productions. And I have played at the Belmont, so I've played in New York, technically. and then I've played at the Preakness, so I've played at all three Triple Crown races, which is something I never dreamed of.
Well, when you're at a place like Churchill Downs, which is hallowed grounds for horse racing fans, and Derby Day is as special as it gets in the sport of thoroughbred racing, I know that over 2.5 decades of working there and being the bugler, there are moments that come up that always resonate with you. So tell me about a couple of the moments that when you think back on your career at Churchill Downs, you're never going to forget.
Well, one's got to be watching the Derby with Wynton Marcellus. He was here in town doing a master class at U of L, and he came to play along with the band, play my old Kentucky home. And after he was done, I went out and introduced myself and asked him if he'd want to watch the race from up on top of the pagoda on the roof. And he said, sure. So that's got to be a highlight. I've met a lot of different of the recording artists, and that's been really, really cool. Meeting Josh Groban was great. His dad plays trumpet, and so we talked about that. And meeting Bob Costas is great. Oh, there's just so many things that I've been blessed with this position to get to do. But those are a few of the highlights.
Yeah, well, Steve, I can tell you there was there's nobody better, man. And I can't thank you enough for all your time here this morning and for, you know, stopping by the studio a few years back. And you've always been very generous with your time. And keep up the great work. And we can't wait for the call of the post later this afternoon before the Kentucky Derby.
Well, thank you very much. And thank you for having me. Thank you what you do for horse racing and keeping everybody excited. And I hope you guys have a wonderful Derby Day.
Yeah, we'll be listening. Thanks, Steve.
Okay, thank you.